Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Thank you for your loving kindness. Your mercy is sustained in our lives. Even when we deserve it not, you've never withdrawn it from us. Thank you for the blessing of righteousness. Thank you for the grace to be called your children and to be drawn into your presence. What a privilege. The world may not know us, but we recognize that we are your children. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you praise. Again, we are here to drink from the water of life. Let there be a flow, Lord. Help our infirmities. Let the wisdom descend from heaven. Cause us to speak like your oracle. Take the mouth of lips and turn it to the lips of power. I commit all the hearers to your hand today. I ask, O God of glory, that you will cause us to hear properly. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the word be mixed with faith in us. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Once again, I count it a rare privilege for standing to bring the word, and I want to appreciate our pastor and his wife for the grace and the privilege. I think I have ascended. What I am doing now is to descend. Praise God. You have tried, sir. Praise God. So in the couple of few weeks, I'll be rounding up by the grace of God. Praise God. So one or two more, I will round up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The more you look at these things, the more you find out that there is still much to talk about, much to teach, much to instruct, and much to impact. But especially, I have discovered that when we stay with the word like this, what it does is to build us up, and to enable us so that those things that are not right in our lives is gradually pruned down. Nothing prunes a believer better than the word of God. The word of God is what God used to prune us. If he's not using the word of God to prune us, he can use discipline to prune us. And of course, his discipline is not palatable. So I choose to be pruned with the word. When I listen to the word and I am affected, I go on my knees, I cry to God, I ask for mercy, I ask for help. And this should be the attitude of each and every one of us. Praise God. I remember 2 weeks ago, we were discussing about it's not a new creation reality as it were, but the emphasis was upon the fact that when a man is born again, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And the emphasis was that we are brand new man. There is no connection with our past. So if we are a brand new person, why is it that things have not become what it should become? Why is it that we have not attained into that perfection? And is it warfare that we need to talk about? Praise God. The scripture that I am about to share tonight I can't remember how many years I have prayed and asked God for years. I've been asking God that show me this thing. I want to have this thing. I want to know these things. And by the grace of God, I have a little bit of insight into it. And I want to share with us so that it will also help us in this warfare. Praise God. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, how many of you have obtained perfection before the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Praise God. Absolutely none of us. Absolutely. Absolutely. None of us. Can you please move forward? Everybody, move forward. Let there not be any seat in your front. Come and sit behind Pastor. Sheye, come and sit behind Mommy. You are the PA. That's disobedient. I said behind Pastor. Sit behind Mommy. Sheye, I think you should have learned righteousness and obedience. Praise God. But even when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, we discovered that many of us could not even believe that we have received it because we do not see the evidence manifestation of it at a glance. Praise God. We could not lay our hand. Many of us were not able to speak in tongues, even at the baptism. So you have this doubt. Do I have the Holy Spirit or do I not have the Holy Spirit? So this is not far away from the same concept of righteousness that we are talking about. Praise God. This is not different from the concept of righteousness that we are also talking about. So this evening, I want to look into something that we are all familiar with. Sometimes it has caused argument, but I want to look at it and we deliberate over it so that we iron it out once and for all. And that is the failure of the law to stop sin. The failure of the law to stop sin. Praise God. Can you give me from the book of Romans chapter 1 and chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. Please, quickly. I want to run with you in this scripture. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's a sentence. There is therefore now no condemnation. The word condemnation is a grammatical legal language which talk about no more blame. No more blame. No more conviction. No more condemnation. He has been set free. He has been liberated. Praise God. There is therefore now no condemnation. When a man is brought before the judge, two things happened. It's either the man is convicted of his crime or is set free of his crime. So we have a legal language here that says that there is therefore now. There was condemnation before, but presently there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, but being in Christ Jesus may not necessarily exonerate you from condemnation. Hello? Because we just have to make this thing clear to ourselves. The Bible said that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And he put a comma. But being in Christ Jesus is not enough for you to be exonerated from crime. Praise God. You can still be condemned even though you are in Christ Jesus. You can still be what?
be condemned. You can still be disapproved, even though you are in Christ Jesus. It is very, very possible. Your work may be disapproved. There are so many works that the Bible talks about that their work shall be condemned and it will be burned up, but their soul shall be saved. So it is still yet possible, it is yet possible for a man to be condemned or to be convicted of sin or condemned. I don't want to use the word convicted. To be condemned of sin, even though he's in Christ Jesus. But there's something that made a man not to be condemned, especially when those that are in Christ Jesus, he said, who walk not after the flesh? Who walk not after the flesh? It's conditional. It's conditional. In other words, there are certain attitude, behavior of a spirit man that could attract condemnation and criticism, even though he was led by the Spirit. But the Bible said that as far as he, God, is concerned, he is not condemned. Praise God. As far as he has been led by what? By the Spirit. That person is not condemned. There are various kinds of people who walk after the Spirit, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Their action was very, 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 very unpalatable. It called for, we will say that you are mad. You need not to do that. You can imagine. A prophet was asked to go and eat a scripture. Praise God. Even in our day, will we not say that you are mad, you are out of your mind? God cannot tell you that. But the Bible said that such condemnation does not hold for him because he was led by who? By the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness. 40 days, he was led to the cross. Praise God. So we could see that basically, once we align with the leading of the Holy Ghost, it does not matter what people say about it. You're justified. Praise God. People may look at it as wickedness. You're justified. People may look at it as insensitivity. You're justified. What is important is that a man must be led by what? By the Holy Spirit. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, the clause is this. You cannot be led except you are what? You are in Christ Jesus. And so if you are in Christ Jesus and you are led to do certain things, please don't mind what people will say. Hello. Don't mind what people will say. People will misunderstand you. You can imagine, somebody just get up, God is leading me to go to Yobe. God is leading me to go to Meduguri. People will say that, are you out? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you out of your mind? And people will try as much as possible. So when people come to me and say, I want to join armed forces, the first question I ask, did God ask you to join? If you say, who can we mean, man? Go and find out. Because armed forces is not something that you can join now. But if you tell me that, yes, God is leading me there. Oh, fine. We know that you are going to bring something out of it. Sir? He's on his own. He's on his own. Praise God. He's on his own. And of course, if he was not lying and he joined, he will be vindicated. You just discover that even in the battle, he will come with laurel. In warfare, he will come with victory. So it is very, very critical for us to be led by the Spirit. He said, "We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Quickly, let me go further. Ah, Uncle Abianti, Aunt Lami, do you still have hangover? For the law of the Spirit, did you hear that? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, so it is clear. The Holy Ghost cannot lead you to do anything that is sin related. Praise God. The Holy Spirit cannot lead you to do certain things that is sin related. I ask myself, what are the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? I have looked for it all my life. I love this scripture. That I want to know this law. Show me this law. Praise God. And I discovered that those laws have been taught over and again, but we don't pay attention to them. As a matter of fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ came and began to teach it in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially in the Beatitude, we do not know that he was talking about the law of the Spirit. Amen. So, we will look at this, how the law of the Spirit of life has defeated the law of sin and death. Praise God. Basically, the soul of every man is too strong for the law of flesh. When we are talking about the law of flesh, we are talking about the law of Moses. The soul of man is so strong that it cannot abide with the law of flesh. Hallelujah. The soul of man is so strong that it cannot abide and contain the law of Moses. Set a bar for a man, or set a limitation for a man, restrict a man, tell a man that this is his limitation. His soul will yearn to go beyond his limits. He will desire to proceed further than where you ask him to stay. That is human soul. So, soul of a man desire liberty from the law all of the time. What is looking for, what the soul of a man is looking for, is liberty all of the time. From time to time, he wants to be free. And God created man in such way. Praise God. So, it is very difficult now for the law to contain soul. Law cannot work with soul. Hallelujah. So seek nothing but independence. Romans. Okay. I think I've read it. But basically, there is nothing that is wrong with the law. The Bible says that the law is good, and the law is what? It's also holy. Then Paul was asking, if that which is good and holy has elicited sin in me, or has prompted me into the place of sin, or trigger sin in my life. Because what law does is to trigger sin in the life of everybody. Praise God. Nothing triggers sin than law. Tell people that fornication is free. They won't fornicate. I'm telling you. Tell people that stealing is free. They won't steal. In fact, they will want to do the opposite of what the law says they should do. So, what law does is to elicit and trigger sin. And sin trigger death in man. Why? Because sin is an avenue to kill man. Praise God. So you cannot begin to see that sin is, law is holy. Law is good. But what law does is to trigger sin in man. So, in other words, it is quite impossible for Adamic nature to overcome sin. Praise God. It is very, very impossible for Adamic nature to overcome sin. You can't conquer sin with Adamic nature. You can't overcome, you can't beat sin with Adamic nature. Praise God. So you need another law of life. You need another law that generates life, that generates another life. And that this is exactly what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has done to them that are not condemned. Praise God. This is exactly what that law has done. It brings about another life. It creates another life that is quite different from Adamic life. With Adamic life, we can't overcome. So, we see the law that is a life-giving law, which God has placed, give unto each and every one of us to walk with. And, of course, the more you walk by this law, the more you change. The more you are changing. The more life is generated in you. Hallelujah. So it is important for us to locate these laws and learn them with our hearts. It is important to locate these laws, law, and learn it with our heart. Even though they were not, interestingly, they were not codified into catalog. They were not. They were not codified as a book, but they were biblical hints that scatter all around the scriptures for us to walk with and for us to lay hold upon so that we can overcome sin. I want you to say to yourself, I have overcome sin. Praise God. Now, right from the time of Abraham down to the time of Jesus Christ, it was this law of life. It was this law of life that helped them. Do you know it's interesting? When each time we say that Jesus is the seed of Abraham, it's interesting. Praise God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was correcting that statement that before Abraham, I was. Before Abraham, I was. So, it's not the resurrected Jesus that was the seed of Abraham. It wasn't. Because the seed of Abraham, the seed of Abraham have a time lag of 33 years. And is resident in Nazareth. But after that, it was no longer the seed of Abraham. So what became the seed of Abraham was church. Praise God. So in other words, we are now the seed of Abraham. Church is the seed of Abraham. It was Abraham that birthed church through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's just a digression. Praise God. Now the first law of the Spirit of life that I have discovered is the law of faith. Say, somebody say law of faith. Law of faith. It's the law of faith. Faith is a law. It's one of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Faith. Praise God. Faith. You can imagine Abraham was not justified by works. Abraham was not called father of nations as a result of works. But he was called father of nations because of his faith. And what was that faith? Abraham, leave your people, your kindred, go to a place where I will show you and I will make you father of nations. And Abraham departed without asking. I don't know who gave him the personality of the person who spoke to him. I don't know who ministered to him that the person who spoke to him has enough energy and strength to make sure that he will keep what he has told him. I don't know if there was any reference. Of course, I remember I talked about antecedent of faith in one of Sundays. If there is any reference that Abraham can lay hold upon that elicited that belief. Because it was a belief system that God spoke to me. I should leave the place of comfort. I should leave the place of harmony. I should leave the place of glory. I should leave the place where I was known and go to the jungle where there was no house to live, where there was nobody to relate with, where strangers are my companion. So he left. Abraham left. And we saw this law, the Bible said that, and this action was what? Was counted unto him for what? For righteousness. In other words, anyone that will operate in righteousness must learn to walk in faith. You can't walk in righteousness without faith. It takes faith to call you righteous. It's not the charity that you do to people that makes you righteous. Of course, if your charity is not orchestrated by the Holy Ghost, you have wasted your time and money. Praise God. So, of course, each time my wife is asking me, give this person something, I say, I've not been ministered to. I've not been told to do it. I've not been instructed to do it. Praise God. So, the law of faith is very, very germane, and it is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Nothing took Christ to the cross but faith. He was able to come to a conclusion that's why he said, if I be lifted up. He was not talking of our praise. He was talking of being exhumed from the grave and he ascended unto heaven. If I be lifted up, I will draw men. People will believe. People will come to God. It was faith that took Christ to the cross. Without that law, he would have not gone to the cross. And don't forget that there was a lot of contention. That was even with Christ. He has been told to do it, but he still needed to go to Gethsemane and say, God, can't we do it other way? If this cup can pass over me, and God did not answer him. That was why? Because that was contrary to the initial agreement.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Now listen, obedience or disobedience, obedience to instruction or disobedience to instruction is basically rooted onto the personality that gave the instruction. Do you understand? Obedience to instruction or disobedience to instruction. That's why I don't take disobedience lightly. Why? Because you have counted me as a liar. You have looked at me that I cannot do anything for you. That I don't have power to do anything for you if you disobey me. If you don't walk according to the instruction that I gave to you, you will go scot-free with it. Okay? You have disobedient me. So you have relegated my background. So in other words, it takes somebody who believes in others or on a personality before the person can heed in obedience to the person, to the instructor. Do you understand what I'm saying? It takes, you know, faith. It takes respect. If I ask Pastor D, that Pastor D, don't worry, tomorrow I'm sending you to Canada. Do you understand? We check it. Miracle will not first happen. Do you understand? He won't take it seriously. He will not even pray about it. He won't operate in faith over it. But if God speaks to him that next year, before September ending, you will be traveling abroad, he begins to prepare his load. Because he will... Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Uh-huh. Do you understand? He begins to prepare his load because he will count it. He will look at the person. But God has never failed before. But this man does not have what it takes to give me visa to Canada. And he doesn't have the money to sponsor the trip. But God can raise it up. Even when it is July, and it seems as if he will still believe God, that God is able. That is what we call the law of faith. That is what we call the law of faith. So, and it is the law of the spirit of life. Those who walk in that law, those who walk in obedience, those who walk in belief system, we never live a life of condemnation. Praise God. I remember when God told me to come to Akure, people were saying in Lagos, are you okay? What do you get on in Eko? Akure, do you get on? I said, well, I don't know. He asked me to go, and I will go. And I came. And he took obedience. Of course, there were many opposition to my coming, even people that are close to me. Akure, how to you? You'll be a liability. Praise God. My coming to Akure have become an asset to people. Why? Because God spoke it. I heard him said it. And I believe it. I did not consult with anybody. I said, even if I am going to sleep on ground, I'm coming to Akure because I have been waiting for this instruction for a long time. Praise God. It's the law of the spirit of life. It's the law of the spirit of life. We must learn it. We must work with it. Look at Acts 12:12. Quickly. He said, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary and mother of John, whose surname was, and Peter knocked at the door. Sorry. I missed that scripture. The scripture is that there is no other name that is given unto man in which he must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. Can you give it to me? Acts 4:12. Whosoever believes in that name is saved. You are saved once you believe in that name. Praise God. It's the law of righteousness. It's the law of the spirit of life. Irrespective of anybody, what anybody has said. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. Because see, salvation, because Islam cannot give you salvation. I can't get salvation from my friend. Nobody have capacity to bring salvation to me. For there is none other name under heaven. He said, under heaven. There may be another name in the heaven. But as of today, we don't know him. It has not been revealed unto man. The only name that is revealed unto man is that given among men, whereby we must be saved. 13. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. That day, more than 4,000 people gave their life unto Christ. Praise God. Now, in other words, we see that what rooted our faith is our belief in his name. Now, we are righteous because we have believed in him. We have laid hold on his name, that his name is able to save us. His name is able to keep us. And for that singular reason, my sins are atoned. My sins are cleansed. I am no longer a sinner. I am saved from my sins. I am saved from every work of unrighteousness. Why? Because I believe that in his name I have obtained salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God and it was counted for righteousness. So if I believe in him, it will also be what? Be counted for me for what? For righteousness. If I believe in what he says, it will also be counted for me for righteousness. Learn to believe God. But you can't hear him if you don't relate with him. Praise God. There are so many intricate issues of life that we can't solve by ourselves, except we listen to him. Let him direct you. Let him speak about it. Praise God. The truth is this. No one, I have never seen anyone, and I have walked across this earth for quite some, over 50 years ago. I've never seen anyone that walked by the law of man and obtained righteousness. And they say, hey, one is also righteous, but before God is a sinner. The likes of Soyinka, those ones, in fact, when you open the Pandora box, concerning them, you'll be marveled. There was a time when I was privileged to enter into lift in Victoria Island many years ago. We were together, and three of us, Oshofison, Soyinka, and myself, we entered into, and I was that privileged because I was in uniform. So once I saw them, I said, I will lay hold on these people today. And they were cursing. In fact, the question I want to ask him, I could not ask. These people are so raw like this. He was speaking conk Yoruba language. Who then cursing? Only God knows the better that he was cursing. And I was dumbfounded that these are the people that we have elevated and thought that, I won't say that kind of things about people, fellow human beings. Praise God. I know I won't say it. And I was so discouraged when I heard him speaking that kind of raw language. Of course, he was abusing the Hausas. He was abusing them. He was abusing them and I'm recollecting now. He was abusing them and cursing them. So, in other words, it is not the righteousness of the law that makes man holy, that makes man to generate another life in Christ. It is the righteousness of the spirit of life. Those things that we are teaching in the church, they are laws. Praise God. They are laws of life. And as many of us that will lay hold on it, we will live. We will live. So no one has ever lived by law and becomes righteous. But only those who are righteous are those who live by the righteousness of Christ, who live by the power of atonement, who live by the power of forgiveness, who live by faith in his name. We must begin to generate faith in his name. Praise God.
Romans 3:27. Paul was bitter with the Jews. Where is your boasting? It is excluded. He was just telling them, you don't even have that righteousness that you are claiming. You don't even have it. It is excluded. You can't boast. You can't boast of works. Because by the time we begin to open up a Pandora box about you, we will discover that your iniquity is more than the iniquities of Gentiles. The only difference between you and Gentiles is just because God is not yet their God. But those of you that God is even your God, you can't boast of good works. The law has not made them to be good, to be holy, to be pure before God. At that particular time, of course, another standard has come, which is the standard of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So if you don't operate by that, you can't make it. Praise God. So
I conclude with this statement. And if I am wrong, please dispute it. The concept of law by itself is the operation of faith. Do you understand? The concept of law, obedience to law, is rooted on the operation of faith. Without faith, you won't obey law. Do you get what I'm saying? Without law, the man who said that I am righteous, I am holy, I am pure, I have no sin in me. What made him to be holy? It's just because he has obeyed the faith that associated with cleansing, purification of Jew at that particular point in time. So when we are talking about law and obedience to law, you need faith. Without faith, you can't obey law. Even the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, not to talk of the law of sin and death, it requires faith. People that walk according to that law, they have enough sufficient faith to walk with it. Praise God. What do I mean? They know that if they break the law, they will die. They'll be punished. They may not live another year. And there is no resurrection for them. They have faith in that. They walk in that faith. And so because of that, they have faith that this law is able to save me. This law is able to keep me. So when we talk about law, it is rooted down to faith, especially obedience. Without faith, you can't obey law. You can't walk in law. You can't walk with law. You can't. It's just because they have faith in it. That is why Pharisees were walking on. And they so believe in it. Their faith is so rooted in that law that nothing could convince them that there is any salvation apart from obedience to the law. It's faith. I don't know when Pastor was talking about it, that if we can have faith of Pharisees. It's just his faith. Get that faith. You said you are Jesus of Nazareth. We don't know you. We know Moses. They have so much faith in Moses. Praise God. So they were not ready to hear any other thing because of that. Their faith is rooted in it. So when we are talking about law too, the law of the Spirit of life, it is rooted under faith. Without faith, you won't believe in it. Without faith, you won't believe that God is speaking to you. Without faith, you will look at situations and circumstances and say, this does not look like it. Praise God. I'm not talking about faith. There are other things. Romans 5:19. So, by the obedience to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you are made righteous. Do you understand? By your obedience to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, submission to that law, you are made righteous. Praise God. It doesn't matter who is criticizing you. It does not matter what anybody is saying. By your simple obedience to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I am convinced of what I am saying because I have prayed for this thing for a very long time. Lord, show me this law. Show me this law. And he said, the laws are scattered all over the... It's just that they are not codified in a book, that like the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Abi, where the law was listed. It's just that these are the commandments of God. They didn't say that. These are the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Number one, faith. Praise God. He said that. But it was littered all over. Even in the Old Testament, we find it there. Hallelujah. So, therefore, our righteousness is hid on the faith in the testament of forgiveness of sin through the remittance by the blood. So our righteousness is rooted to the forgiveness of sin through the remittance by the blood. This is the reason why they can't make it. Anyone that does not believe in Christ. Anybody that say Christ is a prophet. When Muslims say, tell me that Christ is a prophet. I met a young boy there on Thursday.
Very interesting, dynamic boy. He promised to be here today. Was ministering powerfully to me. He says, "Sir, please, can you spare me two minutes of your time?" I said, I can give you 5 minutes. It depends on what you want to talk about. He said, "I want to talk to you about Jesus." I said, "You have 5 minutes. Even if you can go as far as 10 minutes, I have the time." And he started ministering to me powerfully. You have to believe in Jesus. I listened to him very well. Then he now concluded. He said, "Then you also need the baptism of the Holy Spirit." He now asked me, "Do you believe in Christ?" I said, "Yes, I believe in him." You know the next question he asked me? In that place, so he was unmindful whether I'm coming from the church. He said, Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Yes." He said, "With evidence of speaking in tongues." I said, "Yes." Ah, he said, "Praise God." I now call him back. I said, the Holy Spirit that you are talking about, the least of his gift is ability to speak in tongues. The guy just did like this. I said, the least of his gift is ability to speak in tongues. I said, there are many people that have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't speak in tongues immediately. So don't tie the Holy Spirit with ability to speak in tongues. And I begin to tell him, I said, one of the major work of the Holy Spirit is to war against flesh in you, to stop sin, to stop the oppression of sin. At the end of the day, the young boy prostrated. He said, "Thank you, sir." I said, "I'm expecting you here on Tuesday." When he was going, he came back. He said, "Are you the pastor of the church?" I said, "It's Pastor Sheyo Sanibi." Praise God. With the word. And I've recorded victory. Praise God. I remember there was a revelation that came through Pastor that we are calling now. Pastor Yojeje, that came prepare war. And after that prayer, he said, "Any lati pray." And I saw that war with my raw eyes. I saw that war with my raw eyes. We fought and fought and fought and fought, and we are overcoming it. We have not totally overcome, but we are almost at the end of it. But and I keep on saying that there's no need for fear. If you can get to this far, I'm about to say more than 4 years now, Abi. Yeah, about 3 years, more than 4 years. Yeah, about 4 years ago. He has been here for 3 conventions after that. And I kept on saying that I need another word. Praise God. I need another word. But we were fighting it. And Satan has not prevailed. And he won't prevail. In the name of Jesus. Verse 14. I'm going to 7 to the last verse. But their mind were blinded. Our mind must not be blinded to this truth. For until this day remained the same veil on taking away, even from those of us. The veil is still there. We are not dealing with this testament as if it is real. We are not working with this testament as if we can get life out of it. The veil that was with Moses is still in the eyes of many. That veil is on taking away. But that veil is going to be taken away tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which veil? It's done away in Christ. Even though the veil has been done away in Christ, but we still have a lot of us being covered with veil through the word. You don't know how powerful the word of God is. That's the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Let there not be any veil in your heart concerning the word. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than two-edged sword. It's able to pierce asunder and to enter into the bones and marrows, and is the discerner of the intent of man. That is what the word of God can do. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. But the Lord is that spirit, verse 17. But the Lord, now the Lord is that spirit. The Lord is that spirit. We are coming from the book of Romans chapter 8. The Lord, the spirit of life. The Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise God. But we all, listen, but we all with open face, beholding as in glass, the glory of the Lord has changed into the same image. In other words, you have Christ as your mirror. Do you understand? You have Christ as your mirror. And just like you behold the glass, in order to have a perfect look or a perfect clothing, to make sure that what you put on is clean enough for the outing you are going, so is Christ, who is the representation of a mirror unto the believer. Christ is our mirror. He said, as we behold ourselves in the glass, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Even though the same thing, when we begin to behold Christ through His Word, when we begin to behold Christ through His Word, when we begin to learn Christ through His Word, when we begin to digest Christ through His Word, what change, what takes place in our life is metamorphosis. There is a change in us. We change into the same image of Christ. And when we come into that same image of Christ, then we have what we call perfection in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm tempted to open the scripture, but I will not. Praise God. So we become like Christ. Like, as the Bible says in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, when you go from verse 11, 12, 13 of it, you will see that we become like Him. We come into that perfection like Him. It's not a day job. It requires, you know, relating and working with the law of the Spirit. By the special grace of God, I will round up next week, and I'm going to tell us two other laws that are very, very critical and important in this warfare. And when we know and learn of those laws, and we begin to relate with, I have coded it, that these are the law of the Spirit of life. They are the law of the Spirit of life. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open up our heart. We will understand what is being said. We'll be able to relate with it accurately. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are grateful. Thank you for help. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for making this available unto us. We are babes, but you have chosen the babes even to confound the wise. We are grateful, Lord. We pray for spirit of obedience. We pray for spirit of faith. We pray for spirit of meditation, that from today henceforth, we begin to meditate in your word so that we'll be able to accomplish the warfare of flesh, and we will bring it into a total end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Lord. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Yeah, I'm giving me 15 minutes. I've never even taken microphone. You are starting counting down. Who is in charge of that thing there? It's looking like you, Bro Michael. This is unrighteousness. Is Bro Femi? It's unrighteousness. I've never even started holding microphone. You are starting counting. There's no problem. Amen. Pastor B, thank you very much. Can we appreciate him once again? Hallelujah. Please don't forget our team. We are talking about the warfare of the kingdom. For this portion, for this administration, he has focused on one major enemy, which is sin. And the church has not, we've not really developed a systemic theology on how to approach it. Yeah, once a while we touch it. Where's okay? Please, can you appreciate Rotayo? Came in from Ibadan. Rotayo, you're welcome. Some people don't know you anymore in PGT. You know, and we're talking this afternoon, and was saying he went to Pastor Lubi's church. He said his friend said, "Come to Pastor Lubi's church. You will hear things you've not heard before." I said, "He got there, and when Pastor Lubi was preaching, I said, this is what I hear in PGT." I said, no, it's not like this. It's too deep. Okay, this is empty. There's nothing new. Not that I say it's not new to me. Praise the Lord. And I just smiled. And you see, it took us over 20 years of consistent study, preaching, study, sharing, to start scratching the surface of this law. The key to the New Testament is the Spirit. That's the key that unlocks the whole program of God in this dispensation. Because he was saying that they were talking about the salvation of the human flesh, that it does not stay with the Spirit, it goes to the soul, it goes to the flesh. I said, all those things still boils down to one thing, you see, the Spirit. Without the Spirit. So far, all the church knows about the Holy Ghost is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we will never fulfill our destiny of coming to full sonship without discovering this part of Him. How do you overcome sin and death? It's not enough to say, Lord, forgive me. It's okay. But God will not have been vindicated. Remember what Moses said. Say, God, if you destroy these people, your enemies will say you were able to bring them out, but you were not able to bring them in. That accusation is still valid today. God will have to deal with that matter. You can save them, but can you turn them to sons? So that's where we are. So I thank God for forgiveness of sins. But we can't stay there. We have to move on to perfection. Praise the Lord. I wonder if there are any questions. Any question, any clarification, anything you want to add? Any person? Otherwise, I may just need to share one or two more things and go. Hallelujah. Okay, since somebody wants to ask a question. Okay, Rob. All right, thank you very much. Amen.
In that 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
2 Corinthians 3, yeah.
Verse 7.
7.
Okay, it says, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily.
Could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance.
The question I want to ask is,
I've been waiting for you to ask the question. You have to tell me the question I want to ask. Just ask the question.
What is the definition of the glory that we are talking about there? Because now we're talking about the New Testament that is more glorious. And you know, somehow we are interested in Ogo, glory things.
Okay,
so maybe
okay.
If you understand the glory of the old, relate with the new.
What the new is about. Okay. Who understand the Ogo? Okay.
Thank you very much for that question. And it's very valid. Now, we have to go back to the place where the glory was first used. Of course, the Greek interpretation is kabod. It's a symbol of power. It's a symbol of life. Okay, we can relate with the Ark of Covenant. When the Ark of Covenant is brought to the camp, you know, the power of God is resident in that Ark. Praise God. And so, when they are now talking about the ministration of death with an engraving, with
written in an engraving was glorious. The glorious of that ministration was what Moses was able to accomplish right from the place of that, right from the presence of Pharaoh to the day when they entered into the wilderness. You can see how the water turned to blood, the rod becoming snake, and so it was that manifestation. There was a time when they got the water was bitter, they cast the rod onto it, the water became sweet, they speak to the rock bring forth water. They were hungry, there was manna from heaven. And so they came up and said, this ministration is glorious, we want to live with it. But the Bible said that it's not, that is not the glory. That's not, those miraculous things were being replicated even by Egypt, in Egypt. They could be replicated in Egypt. There's much more glory that is ahead, and that is Christ. That's why the Bible says that Christ in hope, the hope of what? The hope of glory.
Praise God. Are you a little bit satisfied? Okay, let me also add this. And that is also important. It's important for me to clarify this. When you hear modern preachers speak about glory, you need to understand where they are coming from. They're either coming from that Old Testament paradigm, or they are coming from the paradigm of the world. And what gives you praise, what projects you as you are in control? You come out, five people roll out of the car with guns, sunshade, they're opening your door, they're pushing everybody back. They say that, you know, your plane just landed in Ojaoba, you know. That's where your plane landed. And all kinds of things, that is what people are looking for. A minister of God came for a night vigil. I think the last night vigil I had in Agape, was it the last or second to the last or third to the last? I don't remember now. The guy came to tell us, he spent the whole night vigil, telling us that Analaje bought him a V8 Land Cruiser. The whole night. That was the message for the whole night. No word though. He stretched that testimony till we have to start praying around 2 a.m. And people were rushing out to go and lay hands on the Jeep and say, Father, my own. They painted the wrong image of the glory, the cardboard. And that's very unfortunate. This glory is related to his image. Without the image, there is no glory. It has nothing to do with what you and I achieve or accomplish here on this earth. It's not earth determinant. It's image determinant. We understand that when Adam sinned, they said Adam died. But do you know what exactly died in Adam? We know it was not Adam's likeness, because we all still bear the likeness. If you read the New Testament, you keep seeing that the issue is about image. Once you bear that image, glory will automatically come. So you see, like Pastor said, throughout the old Bible, the laws of the Spirit are all scattered there. These are gems you must go and mine. You must know how to mine promise. And they are contained inside promises. Paul said that, Peter said he has given us great and exceeding promises. That means these promises, of course, and Paul spoke about it again in Hebrews. He said, this covenant is built on better promises. It is these promises that you take based on the law of faith, law of obedience, that turns you into what God wants you to be. Praise God. And those promises are scattered there. And I was telling with Brother Tayo, I said the problem we have with many ministers is that the Old Testament is premised or predicated on physical life here. Are you with me? The new is predicated on the things of the Spirit. But instead of them spending time on getting us acquainted with things of the Spirit, they stay with the Old Testament and stay with the things that are physical. So we are bound and tied down in the physical. God will help us in Jesus' name. I think that's enough for me. I'm looking at my time. Any other contribution? I was going to say something. Okay, is Alison. Interestingly, I don't like Alison. Pastor like Alison. I don't like her. I listen to her music and something in my stomach, I just get irritated. I don't understand. I don't know, but... Eh? I know talk about that. Me okon move. See, this one is turning my stomach. That one, I'm not moved at all. I was telling, again, part of the discussion I brought tired this afternoon. I said, why do ministers do a waro? I said, if my life is based on church in this COVID, there's no way I will not say kachifo. They'll be asking for me. Do you understand? No, we'll come up. Is it not the man mind? A mind of a man will look for a solution. You buy online. Do they buy online in America? They are buying online now. But this one, it will kill COVID before the COVID leaves America to meet you. People will buy. You know, human beings, they are afraid. You sell fear. You sell all kinds of funny things. So what am I trying to say in effect is that we as a people, we must grow. It's mandatory on us to grow. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Can we bow our heads to pray and talk to the Lord? There's a law called the law of the Spirit of life. You need to be acquainted with the law. You need to know the law. You need to master that law. There's a law called the law of grace. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. I don't know. You need to become a professor. You need to have used it so much that you know its extent, how conditions under which it will operate. You have become acquainted with it. The Bible spoke about the men of David. There were some men like that that they could wield weapons using their left and their right. They were skilled men. You need to go on skilled in the word of righteousness. Apart from meditation, you need the principle of memorization. You need to know how to memorize scriptures. It's a practice we are not used to. But we need to start learning. If you can memorize your textbooks to pass exams, it's also necessary that you learn to memorize scriptures if you are going to do well. Father, help us, Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help us in the name of Jesus.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.